Welcome to worship on this Thanksgiving Eve. You'll notice that one of the ideas right at the top of your worship folder says, Thanksgiving leads to thanks living. Exactly what does that mean? Oh, it's not hard to understand. It means that if your heart is full of thankfulness and praise for all the gifts that God gives, then that will inevitably lead to a thankful life dedicated to God. So we're going to focus on that particular thought this evening. You'll find it reflected in the lessons, in the sermon, in the songs, in the hymns, and the prayers as well. We'll begin by singing the first hymn, May the Lord Richly Bless Your Worship This Evening. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
A lesson from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, Sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, Sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant, and this decree, Sovereign Lord, is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, Sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise his holy name.
And yet, what do we need to admit takes place even with such reminders?
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature's death in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise his holy name.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's word for our consideration on this Thanksgiving Eve is recorded in Psalm chapter 34. We'll hear verses 1 through 8. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. This is our text. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoicing, praising, and giving thanks to God for all of his wonderful blessings, you may already know the occasion under which Psalm chapter 34 was written. But just in case you don't, let me remind you. David had been anointed king of Israel because the Lord had rejected Saul as king. But Saul wasn't really willing to step aside, and he did not appreciate the threat to the crown that David represented. And so Saul's hatred for David grew constantly until finally he had reached a point where he was done with David and he decided he wanted David dead, and he finally came out with his plan to everybody in around him in his area of concern and told them, we've got to track this guy down. Take him out. That's just the way it is. And so David became a hunted man in his homeland. Everywhere he went, Saul was pursuing him. And to make matters even worse, Saul made it clear that if anybody bumped into David, if he talked to anybody, they were to immediately turn him in, or they would face execution. And there were those who were put to death simply because they visited with David, spoke with him. So David realized, I can't stay. You know, and what are you supposed to do when you're not welcome in your homeland anymore? There weren't a lot of options. So David made a difficult decision. He decided to flee into Philistia. And that doesn't sound too threatening until you remember that David, for a long time before he fell out of favor with King Saul, was the one who led King Saul's men into battle against the Philistines. And so as he made his way to their capital city of Gath, he was quickly taken in under arrest, and the woman's auxiliary from the VFW was there to greet him. This is the guy who made us widows. This is the guy we hate, and we finally got him. And guess what? He was arrested with Goliath's sword on him. Remember, Goliath was the Philistine champion. David began to wonder if this was maybe a good decision after all. Maybe I shouldn't have fled into Philistia, who knows. So he was in big trouble, and he started thinking about what to do, came up with a plan, and then committed his way to the Lord in prayer. And you know what he did? He acted like he was insane. He drooled all over his beard. The cell that he was in, he scrawled all sorts of weird messages. He wrote on the ground around him. And when he was finally brought before the king of the Philistines, the king looked at him and said, oh, this is David. He's the one that's killed all my men. But I've heard rumors that back in Israel, they hate him now. The king wants him dead. This is probably why he lost his mind. He's clearly insane. And I got plenty of insane guys to rule right now as it is and to deal with on a daily basis. So just get him out of here. And David was delivered just like that. Because once they let him go, he could run away from Gath and then hide inside Philistia. And nobody in Israel knew where he was. And the Philistines didn't want to bother him. Everybody thought he was crazy. So the Lord had delivered his servant. It was amazing. And David was ecstatic. I mean, just walk in his sandals for a second here. I mean, that was a long shot of a plan when you think about it. Here he is in Israel, and he decides to flee to the enemy that he had run roughshod over for so many years. Oof. And the Lord delivered him. That is why King David wrote Psalm 34. It was based on that very occasion. And here's what he said. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. See, it's kind of a neat thing about praise. As King David opens up here, he says something about praise with his words. He tells us that praise of the Lord is greedy and it's boastful. And normally those aren't words that we would associate with God's faithful servants, but it's entirely appropriate when it comes to praise. Praise is that way. Praise, when something wonderful happens, you want to share it, and it causes, you hope others to join you. Praise the Lord with me. That's what David is saying. It kind of reminds me of something that happened to me my first year at Northwestern College. Myself and two friends, both of whom are Wells pastors in the Midwest, the three of us decided to go see a movie in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and so we took off in my friend Mike's car. And I don't remember what he had. It was like a 67 Malibu with a very nice engine. It was a nice car. So we went, we enjoyed the movie, got something fancy to eat. I think we went to Taco Bell. And then we hop back in the car, we're driving back. We're on a two-lane road on our way back to Watertown, Wisconsin. Traffic both directions. And my friend Paul was in the back seat, and he was out like a light. I was kind of dozing in the passenger seat. Mike was driving. And all of a sudden, he mashed it. You know, feel the car take off, and I opened my eyes a little bit and noticed that in front of us there was a line of cars approaching an intersection. Line of cars, about four or five deep or so. And they were all slowing up, and my friend decided, we're going to whip out and pass them. There isn't anybody coming right away. So, whoosh, we whip out, we're flying along, and all of a sudden, it became clear why everybody was stopping at that intersection. The guy at the very front was turning left, right into us, and I can still see his face of shock and horror. He hit the brakes, thank the good Lord, he stopped, giving us just enough room to maneuver past him. But this intersection was kind of almost like a bridge with a big culvert over a culvert, and there was water down there, and we hit the curb at maybe 65 miles an hour, and the car went up in the air, and it was sky. Sky for a long time. It felt like a long, long time, and I thought, oh, I'm going to die. And we came down and smashed into this water, and the car bounced around and stopped, and I realized, I'm all right. I looked over to my friend Mike, the driver. He was very upset, but he was all right. I looked in the back, couldn't see my friend Paul, but once we pulled his head out from underneath the driver's seat, he was fine. Everybody was good. People came running down telling us, don't move, you may be injured. We've called 911, everything's okay. And well, long story short, we got out of the car, and we pushed it out of the ditch, and we got it back up that embankment, drove back to school. And when we got back to school, every single person we met, we had to tell them in detail. You're not going to believe what just happened. This is incredible. Listen to this. And then we tell them the story, and we always finished the very same way. The Lord was watching out for us. The Lord delivered us from what could have been a much worse situation. We were kind of doing exactly what King David is doing here. Hey, join in and thank the Lord with me. He's delivered. He's rescued. David remembers his experience at the hands of the king of Philistia and how God delivered him, and this is what he said. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. David remembers. He thinks it through, and he can't help but tell his story and give thanks and praise to God, inviting others to join on in. And, you know, we could, right? I suspect we could probably spend the next 3 hours, if we wanted to, listening to different stories, probably all of them 100 times more fascinating than the one I just shared, probably on the same level as King David's story about how there was trouble, there was frustration, there was danger, and God delivered. Thank the Lord for that. What a wonderful thing. And, you know, when you spend some time reflecting on those horrible situations that the Lord has brought you through, you inevitably end up making some inferences. And David does in our text. He says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I mean, how do you explain what happened to David, or to the three of us in that car ride back from Milwaukee, or to you? Take your pick in whatever circumstance that you have come to mind when you think about the dangers and the problems and the difficulties and the adversities that you faced. The Lord has helped you through. Over and over, how do you explain that? Well, the simple answer is the angel of the Lord loves to encamp around those who fear him. And he keeps on doing that. The Lord loves to wrap himself around his people. He wraps his arms around them and he holds them tight and he keeps them safe. And you know, as we gather here this evening on this Thanksgiving Eve, and as we celebrate a national day of Thanksgiving tomorrow, what an opportunity for us to remember, like David did. Make sure you do. Don't forget. Every Christian has, like a memorial garden in his heart. It's a beautiful place. You look at it with your mind's eye, of course, you know what I'm saying, and it's very nice. The path is always clear, the grass is always cut, and the trees are always trimmed. Everything is just perfect. The sun is always shining, and it's great to walk through this memorial garden, because all over the place here, in this memorial garden inside your heart, are the little reminders of all the things that you faced that weren't probably very pleasant, but the Lord delivered you from whatever problem it was. You know, you look over here and, oh, there was that time I could have been killed in that accident. The Lord delivered. And you look over here, and there's a time, oh boy, the doctor said things didn't look good, and we all prayed, and the Lord delivered. And then there was these times over here, and it really looked bad, and God rescued each time, and this, and there was that, and there was those things, and there are all these things. These are memories that are not to be forgotten, but to be remembered. Because to remember them is to give thanks and praise to God, just like David did in Psalm 34. And certainly that's what tonight and tomorrow is all about. And then something else happens. It's very interesting. If you give thanks and praise to God, that inevitably has a byproduct. And that byproduct is assurance. If you give thanks and praise to God on a regular basis, it leads to assurance because you're thinking about all the different times the Lord has delivered you in the past, and you find yourself being reminded of the fact that He's absolutely faithful. He keeps all of His promises. He'll never fail us. He'll never let us down. A heart of thankfulness and praise to God leads to a heart that's reassured that the Lord is faithful. Just a little while, probably I think it was last week, I was reading a devotion. You know, one of the small devotions, maybe Forward in Christ, maybe Meditation. I can't remember which. And there was an interesting story. I don't know if it's true or not, but here's how it went. A man wanted to get a portrait painted of himself. And so he selected an artist, and he went and met with this individual and said, "Here, look, I've got quite a library, so I want to be seated in my nice comfy chair in my library in front of my books, and I want to have a book in my hand." And the artist said, "Oh, all right, great. Sounds good. Can do. Any particular book?" "Yes, yeah," he said, "the Bible." "Okay." Artist said, "Sounds good. Any particular verse?" He said, "Yes, Romans 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Again, I don't know if that was a true story or not, but the bottom line is, it was an excellent selection. Great verse to pick. Really, I think you could say it's the updated version of Psalm 34. "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That's you. And why is that? Because God keeps His promises. He kept His promise to send a Savior. And Jesus came into this world and He has taken from you all your sin so that He could wrap you in His righteousness, so that you could be at peace with God now and always, forever. That's what Jesus has done. And so King David says it, and it's just really beautiful to hear it. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Or as the Apostle Paul put it, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Put it all together, and what do you have? The promise of deliverance in this life from all of its problems, and in the next life from the condemnation that we deserved. Jesus has saved us. He set us free. So like I said, make sure you take an opportunity to ride on through that Memorial Park inside your heart. Sometime tonight, tomorrow, do it more than that. Maybe twice tonight and twice tomorrow. But make sure you notice that the best memorial of all, the most glorious of all, of the one in the center that's above the rest, is in the shape of an empty cross where Jesus won our salvation and once and for all reassures us that God always delivers His own. Remember that, and this will be truly a wonderful Thanksgiving. God grant that to us all for Jesus' sake. Amen. The service continues at the top of page 6 in your worship folder. The Holy Spirit reminds us in James chapter 1, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows."
I believe that God created me and all that exists, and that He gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my mind, and all my abilities. And I believe that God property and home, spouse and children, land, cattle, and all I own, and all I need to keep my body and life. God also preserves me by defending me against all danger, guarding and protecting me from all evil. All this God does only because He is my good and merciful Father in heaven, and not because I have earned or deserved it. For all this I ought to thank and praise, to serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true. We'll continue by singing the next hymn. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 36th verse. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind Jesus at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then Jesus turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise His holy name.
Time.
We join our hearts together in the prayer of the church, which begins in the midsection of page 7. The congregation will please rise. Lord of heaven and earth, you made all things beautiful. You have provided green forests and refreshing streams. You have arranged the orderly procession of day and night for our work and rest.
Thank you for the mountains and the prairies, the roaring sea and the gentle breeze.
Thank you for roofs that shelter us, for clothing that protects us, and for food and drink. Thank you for our work, for projects that are done well, and for the approval of supervisors and teachers. Thank you for all who serve at night to make our days more pleasant.
Thank you for our associates at work, for their encouragement and praise, and for the joys of human friendships.
Thank you for our cities and our countrysides, for farms and factories, for streets and highways, and for all of life that flows so swiftly before us.
Thank you for children at play, their boundless energy, and their shouts of joy and laughter.
Thank you for the morning greetings we receive, and for all the smiles that come from faces loved by you.
Thank you for Christian parents, for their affection and their care.
Hear us, Lord, as we give thanks for personal blessings. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his coming to us in word and sacraments, for his giving and forgiving, and for listening to our prayers. Receive our gifts and offerings as our sacrifice of praise.
Lead us in thankful living today and always. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
We'll conclude by singing, Now Thank We All Our God. The congregation may be seated.
Thank you.
Well, good evening to all of you. My name, I think, as most of you already know, is Dave Waterstraat. I serve as pastor at Hope Lutheran Church, just up the hill a little ways in Penryn. It's a great joy to be with you. And from all the saints at Hope and from my family to yours, a very blessed Thanksgiving to all of you. Have a good evening.